This morning we're going to talk a little bit about the freedom found in Christ. If you'd turn with me to Galatians 5, and we're going to read from verse 13 through 26. And then I do ask that you keep your Bible open if you would like to follow along, because we'll be referring back to a few different verses earlier in the chapter as well as we go through it. But let us read. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires that what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Reading of the Word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. Lord, we have read your Word, the words of your servant Paul. Lord, we just ask that you just send your Spirit to bind these words on our hearts. Lord, that we can just take them to heart and really understand what they mean for us. So Lord, we just ask that you bless us today. Lord, I ask that you bless this message. Lord, may you just speak through me. May these be your words, Lord. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. So we've just celebrated Independence Day. And although it felt different this year because of the pandemic and the division and hatred within our nation, I still couldn't help but think of the Declaration of Independence. That is the reason for this holiday. And I want to quote to you the most famous and well-known part of the Declaration of Independence. It goes like this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are profound and encouraging words that our nation's founding fathers wrote 244 years ago, yesterday. But now look. Look around our nation. Do you see what's happening? There's less celebration this year. Fewer activities. Not only because of the COVID pandemic, but because of the hatred and division throughout the country. That hatred and division that is brought on by the push by some factions to erase history, to start over in the name of power and selfish ambition. So with this in mind, let us look at this passage of Scripture that Apostle Paul wrote nearly 2,000 years ago. He wrote it to the churches in Galatia. And we can read through this, and if we take it out of context, you're not going to hear me say this often, but let's do that. Let's take this Scripture out of context and pretend it was written to the United States as a warning back in 1776. Reread these verses 13 through 15 with me. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. That can speak directly to what we're dealing with in the nation, our nation, right now. And if you look at this passage of Scripture, and you look at the history of the United States, it's easy to see what we struggle with. You see, we have been greatly blessed by God. There's no doubt about that. We have lived in a free country with only a few major issues in the past two centuries. Two and a half centuries, almost. Yes, our country has been at war. Yes, we have had terrorist attacks. We've had natural disasters. However, for the majority of Americans, our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has not been taken from us. But now we see the rioters and those who promote violence, and those who promote division by way of media and through violence. And maybe it makes us wonder if those rights that we just celebrated yesterday, if they're going to begin to be taken away. Now I want all of us to think about what it is that has gotten us to this point in the United States. The answer is simple. Too many people have become complacent. We have used our national freedom to indulge the flesh, as verse 13 speaks about. So many have gotten wrapped up in the American dream that they've begun to forget about their neighbors. I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about us. Good Christian people, conservatives. We come to church, we're proud of the fact that we're conservative. We're patriotic. But how many of us forget about our neighbors? The liberties that we celebrated yesterday are a great blessing. But just like all the blessings that God gives us, we as Christians are not supposed to use it for selfish purposes. Just as our money and our possessions ultimately belong to God, in the same way our national freedoms also belong to God. These are a gift for us to enjoy and to use them to bring others to Christ by way of mission opportunities, outreach. We have freedom of religion. Many of us take that for granted. There are many countries out there that get persecuted if they tried to meet in a church like this. But what do we do with our freedom? Do we just come to church because we're supposed to? We can talk about Christ in the world. Yes, there's parts of the nation or parts of the government that don't want to involve God anymore. Not supposed to talk about it in schools and things like that. But we know there's ways around all of that, right? What do we do with our freedoms? Even as Christians, we struggle with that selfish ambition. We get caught up in the world's way of getting bigger and more, better. How often do any of us really truly sacrifice something that we think belongs to us in order to help someone else in a time of need? Not every person not only in the United States, but also throughout the world, needs to ask themselves some questions. We as Christians need to lead by example. We must remember that we represent God to everyone around us. So let us ask ourselves some questions today. When is the last time you put others first in your life? How do you respond to those who disagree with you on political issues or personal views? Are you angry with them? Do you provoke them? Do you talk about them behind their back or try to get others on your side? Those are some of the things we need to think about, because it's easy to be tempted to sin because of our patriotism. We don't think of patriotism as sin. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying patriotism itself is sin. But if it promotes anger in our hearts, hatred for others who don't agree with us, that's a sin. The Bible calls it a sin. Hatred. Selfish ambition, fits of rage, jealousy. Dissensions and factions. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I had to look those words up, see what they actually meant. So dissension is like, well, a faction is a group of people, and a dissension is when that group of people dissents against or rebels, basically, against the common good. That speaks to what we got going on today. Some groups are dissenting. But others, because of our patriotism, we can be welled up with hatred against that dissension, can't we? So that's what I'm warning against. Let me ask you another question. When I say the word freedom, what's the first thing that you think of? What's the first thing that pops into your mind? Is your view of freedom earthly or eternal? It all comes down to where you put your trust. For those without God, they put their trust in the government or in money. Or maybe they just don't trust anyone or anything. And they live their lives in a continuous tension and unrest. Maybe you think of this issue the same way that Patrick Henry did in 1775. When he finished his speech to the House with these words, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, that is to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? "Forbid it, God Almighty," he said. "I know not the course that others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." For Patrick Henry, his national freedom was so important that he would rather die than to be bound up in the chains and slavery, as he said. Or do we view freedom as Paul illustrates it to us here? Paul says that we are called to freedom not only for our own opportunities, but also to share our freedom with those around us. So what is this freedom that Paul is talking about here? Is it the freedom of religion? Is it the freedom of speech? The freedom to keep and bear arms? All very important freedoms. But that's not really what Paul's talking about. So now let's put this words of Paul back into context. Paul is speaking of the freedom found in knowing Christ as your Savior. He says this in verse 1 of the same chapter, chapter 5. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." That almost sounds synonymous with Patrick Henry's words, right? "Will not submit again to the yoke of slavery." You know, I agree with both Paul and with Patrick Henry, but I think Paul's words are just a little bit more important here. Those who are saved by grace are free from the slavery of sin and hate in the world. We are called to live differently, even in the face of anger and violent people. That doesn't mean we're supposed to sit back and let evil people burn cities and kill the innocent. But what are we supposed to do? You might be asking that. What are we supposed to do then? We're supposed to be peaceful. We're not supposed to sit back and let evil run the country. What are we supposed to do? Scripture tells us we're called to love our enemies. But yet we're called to uphold God's truth. We're called to protect our families. So how do we do that? And I'll give you my best answer to that question. This is a constant balancing act that we all have to struggle with. This is what the founding fathers of the United States of America had to struggle with. It begins in our heart. We must love those who hate us enough to care about them and their soul. We must pray for them. However, we must defend ourselves and our families and our country against evil people who want to harm us, who want to take away our freedoms, like our freedom of religion. We are called to be Christ-like in the way we live our lives. Christ had many enemies, and he was hated by a vast majority of those he encountered. Yet he showed mercy to everyone, everyone that he encountered. He showed mercy. And he gave forgiveness to everyone who believed in him, to everyone who repented. However, those who did not repent were not saved. Now, I know some people want to think of God as this such loving God that he could never send anyone to hell. But the Bible is very clear that those who do not repent will not be a part of God's eternal kingdom. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's one of many verses in Scripture that speaks out against evil. It speaks of the judgment day. So for those who are so filled with hatred that it becomes their driving force, those that have let themselves go to the control of Satan, and without repentance, they will be lost for eternity. Now, we're not God. And it's not up to us to judge others. That is why, if we're truly saved, we must pray for those who hate us. Because we don't know where their heart is at, if they will repent. But yet, we must stand against them. We cannot let evil take over in our lives, on our personal lives. We can't let evil reign. Now we know, and I know Pastor Rob has been going through the book of Revelation. We know that the end times, evil is going to reign. As Christians, we know that's coming. But we're still called to do our best in the face of that evil. We don't know the time. Praise God, we don't know the time that's coming. But it's up to us to stand up against what we know is evil, what the Bible teaches us is wrong, against that hatred, to not let hatred overcome us, and to teach our children to do the same, and our grandchildren, so that they're not eaten up by the evil in this world. Adam and Eve had that opportunity to stand against evil when they were tempted by Satan. But they failed. They failed to do so. So my call to you this morning: stay strong. Stay in the Word. Stay close to God. And let us not fail. Not only for the sake of our own lives, but for the lives around us, lives of our children, grandchildren, and those who need to be brought to Christ. Let us not fail in this way. As verses 25 and 26 say, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Because we see the media full of provoking. And we as Christians, I think we all struggle a little bit with envy. It's hard not to in the United States. We've had it so good for so long. We always want more. We always want that neighbor's bigger house or their car. There's always something that the devil uses to get into our lives. We even see it in churches. We want the nicest stuff, the biggest stuff, the biggest buildings. Let's not become conceited. We are humble. We were sinners. We're called to be saints, but we're still called to be humble saints. We're not perfect. We need to remember that. I urge you today, as we continue to celebrate our freedoms that we still enjoy in this country, do not become complacent. And yet, do not fall into the trap of hatred and division. Go today. Thank and praise God for the freedoms that we still enjoy as a nation. And remember that even if every earthly freedom that we have is taken away from us, we can still celebrate, because all those who believe have eternal freedom in Christ alone. Amen.